This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 149. And on this episode, we are talking to Celine DaCosta about how you can prep your message for the masses. You've been thinking about getting featured in major media, or you just want to be featured in other podcasts. This episode is about how to get ready for that. So stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Now, I'm really excited because it's been a while since we've had a guest where we had some really clear outcomes that we were going to talk about. And I was really excited because I was chatting with the guests we have today, and we were trying to figure out exactly what we wanted to talk about. And she said something that really stood out to me. She said, you know, so many people want to get featured in Forbes or Business Insider or Entrepreneur Magazine, but they're not even sure what they would say if the opportunity presented itself. And in my business, I'm all about opening my eyes to opportunity and possibility. But opportunity and possibility are this intersection where you've got to be prepared. You've got to have the information and in this case, the story ready for when the opportunity to even be featured somewhere presents itself. So I don't want to spoil too much, but I just want to say, if you are like, I want to be on more podcasts, I want to guest blog, I want to be in major publications, you're probably not there yet. And that's okay, because my guest today, Celine DaCosta, is going to help you get your message ready for the masses. So with that being said, Celine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was a beautiful introduction, and I'm super excited to be on and share some nuggets of wisdom today.
Well, I am really excited to have you because I've seen you on the streets of the internet for a while, loving that life in Bali. And I'm really excited. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, your business, kind of how you got to where you are now, you know, the usual introduction that we always do.
Yes, of course. So as you said, my name is Celine. I'm a story architect. I work with entrepreneurs to help them really tap into the truth of who they are and turn that into a powerful, authentic, and shareable story that will transform them and the life of others. So I work with people to really help them get that story out there. And as you mentioned, one of the many ways that you can get your story out there in a bigger way is through publicity, although you can also do that through your programs, through the work that you do, through your social media. There's so many ways to put your story out there. But a lot of people, the mistake that they make is that they focus on that end point, which is, how can I get, as you said, how can I get to that, all of that publicity? Or, you know, how can I make that money that I want to make? How can I get more followers on Instagram? But that is like one of the very last steps to the work that you actually need to be doing as a human being and as an entrepreneur to become a magnetic presence and to know yourself and your story so much that you can confidently put it out there into the world in a way that resonates with your ideal audience.
I think this is so good because, you know, full transparency, we have been trying to do more media this year. And that's one of the things that got me really excited to get you on the show, because I know you partner with some awesome people who help with media. And what I really would love to know is like, okay, so let's say I pick Business Insider. That's like a really big one in our space. And I'm like, I'm ready to be in Business Insider. How do I even start to figure out what my story is? You know, because I think for at least for me and maybe for a lot of people listening, we don't want to be like that typical, like, oh, one day I was eating ramen and now I'm making millions. And like the in-between is that I'm just like this magical unicorn, right? So how do we find the nuance of our story and what makes us unique so that we don't just kind of blend into this whole rags to riches paradigm that a lot of people are talking about?
Yeah. So the top level answer, and I'll go deeper into this in a moment, but the top level answer is that before you start pitching to media, before you start putting yourself out there in that capacity, you really need to understand what is your bespoke, irresistible story, because that is how you actually understand how you're not going to blend into all the other people who have very, very similar stories. So top level, you need to create your own bespoke, irresistible story. Now, how do you actually do that? So the framework that I teach my clients, it's a four-step process, and it goes like this, and I'll go deeper into these as well. Number one, unlock. Number two, embody. Number three, design. And number four, amplify. Now, before I go into the first three steps, which is what most entrepreneurs are missing, I want to bring attention that what we're talking about right now, Zach, is amplify, which is you have gotten to the point where you have a story to share and you're ready to just like to pitch, to build relationships, to put yourself out there, to get that story in front of Business Insider. So that's actually at the end of the journey to creating your irresistible story. So now if we are to rewind back from step 3, 2, 1, if we look at step number 1, it is actually understanding why it's unlock. And the key question I would present to your audience is, why are you not telling your story in the first place? And that's a really important question to ask, because if we look at step 3, which is design, which is where you actually create the story, for you to create the story, you can literally hire the most brilliant copywriter, brand strategist, whatever you want to create a brand story for you to put out there and pitch to the media. But if you yourself don't lack the confidence or the desire or have all these limiting beliefs around putting it out there, you're just not going to take action to put it out there in the first place. So unlock is all about, why are you not telling your story in the first place? The first question you want to ask yourself, and the answer, it's going to be one of three things, which is you have some limiting beliefs around it. You have patterns that are keeping you locked from success. You have disempowering stories. And I say stories like with a capital S, not your story is capital S, your story. And then you have all these little stories about why you can't have success. So I'll give you an example to illustrate this. You have a belief that your story is not worth telling. And you're like, oh, I want to get on Business Insider. I want to get on a podcast, but oh, I don't really have a story. Okay, that's a limiting belief right now, right there. I don't have a story that's worth telling. Another one is, I actually don't know what parts of my story I should be telling, or people are not going to respond well to my story. That's another limiting belief. Another one that's really popular is, my story's too boring. I don't think anyone would be interested in my story. Or I feel that I am really afraid that if I do put myself out there, people are going to reject me. If I do talk about this part, this vulnerable part of my story, people are going to judge me, or like, what will, you know, insert relative friend X think about me? So there's this huge just mountain of self-imposed limitations that you have to look at and actually get through before you get to the place where you're like, cool, I feel really confident. I feel really good pitching to this podcast and pitching to Business Insider or Forbes or whatever. And so that's the number one thing that people ignore. And that prevents people from putting themselves out there in a bigger way, because that is the most uncomfortable thing to look at out of everything that I'm going to be talking about today. It's the most uncomfortable. It's the one that people are like, I don't want to deal with that. Let me just focus all my energy on hiring a publicity strategist, pitching, spending hours and hours and hours, like cold reaching people, because they'd rather do that than reinvest those hours in just figuring out why they're not telling their story in the first place.
I think that's really important. And one of the things that stands out for me, you know, I honestly didn't know if I was going to share this, but I actually posted on my Facebook that I was going to share like how I was able to generate, you know, a couple million dollars over 6 years. And I deleted that post. And one of the reasons that I did that was because I was like, oh, I don't feel like that's enough, or compared to my peers, it's not there. Or like, this story is too tried and true or played out. And it's like, nobody cares. And I think this is really incredible to kind of analyze and have a very real situation to look at, for me at least, because it's like, where are we doing this in our business, in our life, where we go to do something and then we say, oh, but I'm not going to share that. Or, you know, whether it's a Facebook post or Instagram post, but especially as you're trying to put yourself out there, you got to realize that, you know, it is going to require you to push past some of the things that you think to be true into things that, you know, aren't true, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to even reframe that, Zach, think about, and this is the part that we're going to get into in step 2 in just a moment. Think about, had you left that post up, how many people would have been like, wow, this is so inspiring. Like, if he can do it, I can do it as well.
Yep.
Right. So there's that other side of the coin, but because our focus is on, oh, what will people say, or feel self-conscious, or whatever that is, that limiting belief that's kicking in, that's going to essentially consume a lot of your time and energy. And so this manifests, the unlock piece manifests, and number one, you know, to make it actionable for your audience is, okay, answering that question. Why are you not telling your story in the first place? Writing it out on a piece of paper, looking at it with your eyeballs, and then asking, your follow-up question is, what are the limiting beliefs that are actually embedded in this? So it could be one of the ones that I mentioned. It could be another, but what are the limitations that I, what is it that I believe about why I'm not sharing my story? This obviously requires introspection and being honest with yourself. And then what you want to do is like, look at what are the patterns and what are the stories you're telling around that limiting belief. So I'll give you an example. So if the limiting belief is, I feel like people are going to judge me, or I'm really afraid that I'm going to get judged for sharing myself in this way, in this capacity, then the pattern could be you spend hours and hours writing posts, and then you spend even more hours trying to figure out how and where to post them and being a perfectionist and editing the hell out of your posts. And then you post it, and then you agonize about it being online for like a day or two, and you're frustrated and you have anxiety, or you delete it. And then you basically ghost yourself, you ghost your own business and don't post for a while. And then you rinse and you repeat and you rinse and you repeat. That's a pattern that is being caused by that limiting belief. And then on top of that, you have the story that it, you add that basically really anchors in that pattern, which is, oh, well, you know, I was really bullied when I was young and people like didn't love me because of this reason. And my parents did this. And then you eventually attach a story to that pattern. And there you go. Now you have a big mountain that you just, that keeps you from getting to the other side, which is media, sharing your message with people, monetizing, and all the things you ever wanted on the other side of all this bullshit you're telling yourself, basically.
That's really good. And I love that, you know, what a lot of people don't think about is that part of telling your story is introspection, right? There isn't just this one through line. There is no, you know, I know everyone says like there's formulas or there's this, and yes, there's processes and things you can do. The big takeaway, at least for me at this point, is like to even start telling your story, you have to kind of push the formulas and the pitches and the media to the side for a second and say, you know, who am I? What do I want to achieve? What have I achieved? What's preventing me from being where I want to go? And what's helping me be where I am now?
Yes, you summarized it beautifully. And so that's the first piece. Now, when you have done that, and by the way, I just want a disclaimer that this work isn't you being in therapy for the next 3 years and you have to wait until then for you to get that Forbes piece. That's not it at all. Because actually, the moment you become, and I teach a process in my work, I do teach a subconscious reprogramming process that where you can move through these limited self-imposed limitations very quickly. Once you're actually becoming super aware of what they are, you have the tools and techniques in your tool belt for you to move it through your body. And you can actually move through it. I have clients move through some certain beliefs in weeks or months. Obviously, I can't say it's a 4-week process because it's up to you, but it's not a thing where you're like, oh shit, I have all these like limitations, self-imposed limitations that I'm now journaling about. And which means that I can't like get my TEDx for another 3 years until I work through this. No, not at all. Once you know how to move through it, you can move through it quite quickly. And I say quickly, but also at your own pace. You know what I mean? So yeah, you have that. Now you move into phase two. Phase two is embody. And it's related to that question that I was saying, hey, Zach, what if we reframe this into how many people would be inspired? So before I explain phase two, I want to mention that I'm a Forbes contributor. I've been writing for Forbes for the past 5 years. And so in addition to me being featured in places like Forbes, Business Insider, Entrepreneur, and a lot of really amazing podcasts, I'm pitched to like endlessly. And so I've seen both sides of the coin. And in, you know, phase three, which is actually creating your story, I've had people pitch me the most beautiful, well-crafted, where I'm just looking at this pitch and I'm like, wow, this is beautifully crafted. It's clearly thought out. It's super strategic. It's got all the pieces that it needs on paper, but ... it doesn't feel right. It's not resonating with me. I don't feel it. And that is where phase two comes in, which is embodying the irresistible story that you want to tell. And this is where you need to know your bigger why. So now you've cleared all the junk that's getting in your way and you have a clean slate. And now you want to ask yourself the question, why do I want to share my story in the first place? Because I'm going to tell you that if the reason why you want to share your story with the world is because you want to get on Forbes so that you can have a logo on your website. Can you actually, need I say more? Can you hear what's wrong with that? It's all about you. And it's all about, and again, if you haven't done the stuff around in phase one, unlock, what I'm going to, this is very, very common entrepreneurs, is that because they have these limiting, the imposter syndrome and these limitations and these limiting beliefs that were installed in them as children around them not being worthy, around them needing to work hard for their parents' love, all these things that naturally drive us into entrepreneurship, the dark side of why a lot of people go into entrepreneurship, then a lot of people are actually driven by this like gaping hole of needing to be seen. Mm-hmm. And the way they try to fill that hole is through publicity, social media, showing off online, which is essentially the dark side of the online space, which is look at me, look at me, look at everything I've done. Everybody look at how amazing I am, which is really just trying to fill that unresolved void of mom, dad, look at me, I'm worthy. And I don't mean to be savage here, but that's really what's going on. And so if you're operating from that space, then you wanting to get media is just going to come from this like void, like never ending gaping hole that is never going to be filled no matter how many logos you have on your website. So how do we not do that and actually be able to attract media to us in a way that's really fulfilling? And when we do send a pitch, the person that's on the other side is like, wow, I want to interview this person. It's the embodiment. It's why do you want to tell the story in the first place? What is the bigger why? Forget your business. Forget your like list, your media list that you want to pitch to. Forget it all. If I strip you naked, metaphorically speaking, and you have nothing, why do you want to share? Why do you want to help others? And that why, a lot of times will have something to do with your business, but it will be much bigger than that. Examples is why, like I want to be a role model for, you know, the next generation and for my children. I want to be playful in life. I want to enjoy. I want life to be a fun game. I want to rediscover what it really means to be human. These are all really powerful whys that essentially you need to connect to in order for you to be able to wake up in the morning and be in your zone of genius and be motivated even when obstacles hit. So that's the first piece is that bigger why. The second piece is the what, which I refer to as your vision. So cool. Like now you know what that bigger why is. Where do you want to take people? And that's where you bring in your business, which is I want to, you know, in my case, I want to help people tap into their truth and share their story so they can experience fulfillment and success on the inside and then also on the outside. That's why I do what I do and the direction that I want to take people in. So your what is going to be composed of asking yourself, okay, who is it that you really want to serve? Like who's your ideal audience? And how do you want to transform their life? And how do you want to do that? Which is the answer is going to be like, well, through the work and the programs and the things that you're offering in your business. Cool. So now you know what direction you want to take people in. And then you want to get clear on your values, the core values behind what you're doing. And so I'll give you an example. If I have a business and let's say I have a business and I'm going to give it two different sets of value. On one side, my values are fun, family, spirituality. Now, let's say I take the same exact business and instead my core values are courage, adventure, and connection. Can you feel in your body, Zach, how the same exact business having a set of values A versus set of values B are two different businesses?
Yep.
So that's why you need to be clear on what your values are, your core values driving this, because it's going to change the flavor of your story. And as a result, it's going to change who you pitch. It's going to change how you pitch them. So in this phase, in the embody phase, now you know why you're sharing that bigger why. You know what it is that you're actually doing, which means now you know how to craft your story because you have direction for your story. And you know the values behind it. So when you're pitching people, if you're connected to your why and your vision and your values, they're going to be able to feel that you essentially have a story that you genuinely want to share. And it's not just about you, but this is the part where it's like, hey, this is what I want to share with your audience. This is how I want to help the people who are going to be reading your article. Because even when people are pitching me for Forbes, that's what I resonate with. I don't care how nice the story is. It's about what is it that you want to be doing with the story? Why is this going to get on Forbes? It's going to get on Forbes. And then what? And then what's going to happen? What's the bigger mission behind that? So once you figure that out, now you enter design, which is you literally craft the story you need to share. And can you see how now they in step three, if you skip one and two, how step three is just a nicely copywritten story that maybe has like some strategy behind it, but it completely lacks soul, intention, and direction if you haven't gone through one and two.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, I think it's worth noting that just even whether you want to pitch to media or not, having values in your business makes it easier to do all kinds of things, to make decisions, to hire a team, to set the vision for the company. It's like having values, you know, personally and professionally is never going to hurt you. And it's always going to serve you. So you know, there's a million activities out there about finding your values or discovering your values or planning your values or, you know, creating your values. But I think there's so much power in having values. Like at Heart, Soul, and Hustle, we do have core values. We share them with our leadership team. And as we hire people, we bring people into our core values. And, you know, that is how we operate. And that is how we think. And, you know, when we're serving our audience, we like to ask, you know, are we following the core values? And so that makes life and business a lot easier because it's a lot less gray, even though it almost feels like it's more gray.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad you're shedding light on this because these are the nuances that people don't think or talk about, which is, have you ever had an experience where you hired, let's say, a copywriter or you hired a strategist for something, and then you're just like, this person is really good at what they do, but they just don't get it. They don't get what I'm doing. And so now you wasted time and money and you didn't get what you wanted.
Yep.
So the reason why embody, the number two part that I just talked about, is so important, because when you move into design, you can do this two ways. You know, you can do this, all of what I'm saying, yourself. But what if you say, okay, now I'm ready to hire a copywriter to actually create, you know, help me, or a brand strategist or someone to actually help me craft the story, or publicity strategist to help me start pitching media. You want to know everything you learned in number two is actually going to determine who you say yes to, who you hire, and who you don't hire. And it will help you very clearly communicate, hey, publicity strategist or copywriter, here's actually what I'm trying to do with the story. Here's the direction I'm going. Help me create something that aligns with this, so that you're not wasting your time, energy, or, you know, banging your head against the wall trying to pitch people and not getting any sort of response. So whether you do this yourself or you have a team to support you with it, that it's so important when you move into this design piece that you have those values sorted out. And when it comes to the design piece, well, this is the part where you literally say, okay, now you know what's holding you back. So you're ready to overcome that. You know why it's so important for you to be sharing. You're freaking motivated by now because you're like, I have to share my story. Like, I have to, because people are going to hear this the message or the business that I have is going to impact people. So now you freaking know it's a priority and you know that in your body. So it's like, what is the story? How is it that you want to structure the story? And that's something that, you know, I teach my clients. There's an actual structure of that is used in Hollywood and by Shakespeare. Like it's the hero's journey. There is a way for you to structure your story in a way that's going to instantly catch your audience's attention and is actually going to flow to the point where you're showing. So the three things you really want to be doing in a story is you want to relate and connect to your ideal audience. You want to show them what's possible through your message, your business, your story. And then you want to show them why they should trust you. They should know, like, and trust you so that you can lead them to a call to action. And so the design piece is really where you create your own bespoke, irresistible story. And by this point, what you create, if you've done one and two, will be unlike anyone else, because nobody can copy. Nobody can copy and paste your why, your vision, your values in that exact order as it means to you. It's just not replicable. There's only one of you. And so when you're able to create that story, then you're like, yes, this is my story. And now I'm hiring the right people to support me sharing it. And I'm using the story not as about, like, look at me, look at my story, look at how amazing I am, look how cool I am, but rather, like, this is a story that I have to share that sheds light on my business. It completely relates to my ideal audience's pain points and desires, and it drives them to take action for themselves. Now you have that story. Now we move into stage four, which is amplification. And now you're ready to send some really powerful pitches to the media. And it's not just that, because pitches is one of the many, many things that you can do to get featured on those podcasts and, you know, those magazines. Another thing is, and I'll share a couple strategies, huge, huge, huge one that far overshadows any pitch I've ever sent, is relationship building. The features, if I were to count down every podcast I've been on, every feature I've gotten, I would say a large, like 80% is coming from relationship building and connecting, and 20% from pitching. And another thing to note before I go deeper into that is that, for example, you mentioned Business Insider at the beginning of this episode. So I got featured in Business Insider, and I actually had the editor approach me and ask me if they could feature me on Business Insider, because they had been following me on Instagram for a few months and they had been reading my stories. And then, you know, because every day I would show up and I would share my story based on this framework that I'm teaching you. And every day I should be showing up, sharing myself. And one day I said something that was around actually financially, going back to your Facebook post as well, just sharing, hey, here's how much money I've made, which was essentially far overshadowed what I used to make in a year in my corporate job in New York City. And she's like, I was just so inspired by this. And I love to write about this on Business Insider. Like, can we do that? And I was like, yeah. So, you know, just to, you know, it's not just about that active, let me pitch everyone that I can. There's that active pitching, there's relationship building, and there's also showing up, sharing your story consistently across all your channels and knowing that you're going to attract people who are going to be essentially contacts that you can either pitch to in the future, connect with, and will be wanting to feature you or have you as a guest on their masterclass, on their podcast. So I've had a lot of invitations come to me as well as a result of sharing my irresistible story and the way that in using this framework.
I think that's so key. And I think the one thing that you said that I really want people to think about, and one thing that we've started doing, you know, for our business is being more present and candid on social media. It's interesting. I pulled up my Instagram while we were talking because I've been doing a reel a day, every day for 30 days. I'm doing a 30-day reel challenge. And I find that this stuff where I'm sharing like how I really feel or what I really think or where my values fit in with the industry that I'm in, those are the ones that are doing the best. And It's because that's the stuff where, you know, I think sometimes we get caught up because we're like, well, I don't want to take a stand and offend, or I don't want to take a stand and upset, or I don't want to take a stand and have somebody take it personally. But it's like, you know, it's a little laid out, but you've all heard, you know, we've all heard the saying, like, stand for something or fall for anything, right? And I think What you're saying really falls in alignment with that is like, just be sharing your story with the platform that you already have. And it really makes me think of people who say like, you know, I wish I had 100,000 followers. And it's like, but are you ready for what that comes with? Are you ready for the negative comments and the backlash and the people who are going to call you fake? You know, that stuff happens when you get media features. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing the work to unlock and embody, even if you design that great story, it can never be amplified because that amplification, you're just not equipped for it yet.
Wow. Oh my God. I'm like, I wanted to write that down. I'm like, that I should use that in the future. Like, thanks for writing my captions. No, I'm kidding. You're so getting it I can feel like you're getting this on a body level because you're so right. And also, you know, when you're saying you have to take a stand for something, a lot of people are afraid to stand for what they really stand for because they haven't worked through that unlock piece. But the thing is, when you're clear on your why and you're clear on your vision and you're clear on your values, it doesn't fucking matter what people say, because that embody piece is far overshadows and so much bigger than anything that could come up and unlock. So it's really important to understand that when you feel wobbly in your embody piece, you're gonna feel wobbly putting something out and standing for it. And that's the part where you're like, oh, I don't know what people think about me. But when you're so sure and it's in your body where you're like, this is what I'm meant to be here doing, this is what I'm here doing, it doesn't freaking matter the sort of heat that you're getting, because it's just, it's pebbles compared to the impact that you're creating. And in terms of, you know, what you're saying around showing, by the way, I've been watching your reels and I love them.
Thank you.
And you're absolutely right, which is, you know, people, sure, they want to hear like what you do. And when we even talk about brand story is that narrative of facts and emotions that your brand evokes in people. So you're giving them facts, which is cool, like Facebook marketing. I'm getting like tidbits here and there that are super helpful, but it's really like, why should I trust you? Like, how do you make me feel? Because at the end of the day, when I'm thinking about who to hire, it's a huge part of that component is going to be how that person makes me feel and the emotions are evoked to that. And also to speak to that, I actually thought of this, you know, to the amplification piece and the putting yourself out there over and over and over again. I actually would love to even share how I'm on this podcast in the first place, which is literally the example of that, which is, I remember I've been following you. I actually sent a pitch over like about a year plus ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been following you ever since because I just, you know, I loved your podcast and I thought you were interesting. And I think you went on like a bit of a hiatus on social media. And when you came back, I just remember like, I forgot what you said, Zach, but you were super vulnerable and super raw. And I was like, wow. I used to think this was like you were a dude with a cool podcast, and now you're like really like a human being with struggles and overcoming those struggles and then coming out on the other side and being like, hey, I'm actually back on social media. And I remember like you got on my radar because of that. And you were posting and I was really liking like what you were creating. And I remember you like posted about your candle business. I'm like, oh my God, I need those candles. And by the way, I still want them. I'm waiting for somebody from America so I don't have to pay like ridiculous import tax fees. But I was just so genuinely interested in your crystal candles. And I remember just commenting and you're like, DM me. And I'm like, Zach, I need your crystal candles. Give me your crystal candles. And just having like a genuine conversation around like, what have you been doing? I was so interested in you at that point because of like that vulnerable posts. And then, you know, I remember mentioning, hey, I like actually had reached out to you a year ago pitching. And then you were like, hey, well, actually, do you want to come on the podcast? And I remember it wasn't even on my radar to ask you that. I just was really obsessed with your candles. And then you did that. And I was like, wait a minute. Yes, I would actually love to do that. And so I wanted to share this story because I think it's a beautiful way to illustrate how there's an active like way to do this, which is let's make a list and let's pitch to this list. And there's ways that, you know, it's absolutely possible as long as you're doing that unlock, embody and design piece and you're pitching in a way that's really strategic and intelligent. Yes, there is a way for you to grab your reader's attention. To one extent, it is a numbers game where it's like, you know, you pitch 50 people and then, you know, statistically speaking, some are bound to get back to you, but you can absolutely increase that, the chances that people will read your email and respond by doing, you know, the framework that I said. And on top of that, don't forget that that's one of a few different ways that you can really get in front of people. The other is that relationship building, that genuine, authentic relationship building, which arguably I have seen and witnessed both with like my column, as well as being featured on other people, is just like the most powerful way to truly get in publicity in a way where you're sharing a message, you're building a relationship with whoever's helping you share a message. And it's a win-win because you're sharing a message with the world and now you have a new relationship as well.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And I'd love to just tack on that, you know, the second piece of that is like, you know, when you do pitch yourself and you do put yourself out there, you know, you're not just going to get yeses every single time. And that doesn't mean that you can't maintain a relationship, right? Yeah. And I think that sometimes we're so quick to like be seeking the win that we forget that there's a person on the other side. So when we're telling our story, you know, what I find is that like sometimes my reels flop, sometimes they don't, but the ones that really connect are when I'm like sharing something of value that serves the person from a place of my values. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really connecting with people. People connect with people. And even if you're pitching to, you know, Entrepreneur Magazine, like I don't care what you're pitching to a person and that person has their own values and beliefs. And if that person says no to you and you go, well, I'm writing them off forever, like that's your loss, not theirs. And I just really want to impress upon that like I could have said no, and then we could have fallen off each other's radar, but instead you stayed connected. And staying connected doesn't have to be like checking in every 3 days and saying, things have changed, I'm a different person now. It's just keeping that person on your radar, keeping your opportunities open. And when we connected, it wasn't even about the podcast. It was about the candles that I sell. Like it had nothing to do with it, but it opened up a relationship where something could blossom. So I just, that's my big takeaway from that. It's like, don't shut down at every no, and don't think every no is a no forever. And don't think that every no, the flip side of that coin is don't think that every no is a no, not now. And just, you know, come back in 3 months with another pitch. It's like, start building relationships with people because that is where the introductions happen. It's where the interviews happen. It's where the connection happens. And at the end of the day, we're humans having a human experience. And that's what we want is connection.
Yeah. And what you're saying is so true and so powerful. And, you know, to make this, bring this back into it, how can this be also actionable? It's that when you're sending that pitch or you're building that relationship. So I'll speak specifically to the pitch because I received so many and I've sent so many. So I've been on both sides of the coin is that I can tell when you're copying and pasting a really beautifully copywritten pitch. I can tell.
We get them constantly.
It's obvious. And that's why that embody piece is there, right? Because it's like, cool, you designed a really cool story, a really cool pitch. You are not embodying it. And the ways that it's like, okay, cool. Like, well, how do I, you know, cause I do understand that it's not efficient if you're pitching to 50 people for you to just write 50 bespoke pitches. There are pieces that you can copy and paste. Like, hey, here's a little bit about my background and here's about what I do. But what I do spend time doing is thinking about what is the value that I want to deliver to that audience, honestly. And so if I am, I don't actually do mass pitches anymore. I used to do them about a year ago. Now it's not as really necessary because it's very organic. And again, part of the long end game of creating your irresistible story is to get to the point where you don't have to be sending pitches all the time, because now you have a relationship network and you have a story that you're consistently putting out there through your website, through your email list. And so the opportunities, like I've gotten to the point now, for example, where I do have podcasts frequently booked in, but I'm not pitching them because it's just like, hey, you want to do this or you want to get invited on this? But again, for those, let's rewind for people who are just starting and you're sending that pitch. Well, how can you think about what's not like, just get out of the place of what's in it for me, which is I'm going to get featured on this and then I'm going to get this many followers and I'm going to get this kind of recognition, but rather what's in it for the audience of that person. And you could even go to make it more efficient, like batch it, you know, saying like, here's like lifestyle podcasts, here's business podcasts, here's women's health or whatever it may be. And what is that one thing that I really want to offer to the women's health group? And then, you know, you can have like kind of like a standardized pitch with that, but still take the time, especially maybe, you know, someone like Forbes or Business Insider won't care as much, but if it's like a person that has a podcast and they're likely reading or their assistant is reading it, take the time to drop in a line and say, you know, hey, I really enjoyed, like, if you actually listen to it, like this podcast episode, because why? And just adding a little bit of customization goes such a long way, because it, and making it not about you, because then the person reads it and it's like, cool, this is a really powerful pitch. And I actually really want to share this with my audience because I want to give them that value. And this person gives a shit about me. So I'm really then compelled to form a relationship. And I've actually had some really powerful friendships that have resulted from people who pitched me in that way.
I just think there's so much power. And the big takeaway for me is like, it is about relationships. It's about relationships. And, you know, that is where my features have come from, and building relationships and serving other people's audience. You know, I was able to be on Amy Porterfield's podcast, which is pretty prolific in the online course space, twice. And one when I had only been in business for just about a year and a half. And the reason I was on that show multiple times, and there's a point to this, I promise. But the first one was because I shared with her how I used her program and how I wanted to use her platform to share that her program worked with her audience. Because one of my values is solutions driven, right? I'm solutions oriented. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her to see that what she had created could serve her audience. And I wanted to elevate her brand with my message, right? And so it was this amazing synergistic opportunity for both of us. And that built a relationship with Amy, where I was invited back again couple years later. And that podcast where I talked about challenges, which is like one of the core elements of my business, still drives traffic today. I mean, I literally got an Instagram message yesterday from someone saying, oh, I heard you on Amy's podcast. And just for reference, Amy is on episode, she just did episode like 300 and something, like 12 or 15. And this was episode number 144, you guys. Like, yeah, I'm trying to find which one she's on, but I can't click around fast enough. So just assume it's 312. But this was episode number 144, almost like half a lifetime of the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast ago. And yet I still get, she's on 366, found it. So literally more than half of a lifetime ago. And yet I still get business from that. So The takeaway is not, oh my God, I need to be on Amy's show because it gets me so much traffic. The takeaway is, if you're going to approach somebody, tell them how it serves them and their audience, because that builds a relationship where people do bring you back and do want to talk to you and do want to share with you and do want to share their platform. And like, I've got a good friend who I had on my show, and now he's like, come be on my show. And we just have fun. And guys, when you're doing this right, it's not work, it's fun. And I don't mean that in like the have fun, you know, do what you love and you'll never work in your life. Like, guys, I work. Suffice it to say, when I'm pitching, it's work. But when you build these synergistic relationships, it's actually fun. You enjoy talking. Like this interview, I'm enjoying this, right? This isn't work for me, because it's a relationship that has been built and fostered and will continue to be fostered and will continue to serve both my audience and hopefully your audience.
Mm-hmm. That's super relevant. And I was giggling to myself because you're using Amy as an example. And I actually did a Forbes article on Amy, and we did like a live together. And I have the same thing where I still have people, you know, because I wanted to reach out and get her message out as well. She's got a great message. Yeah. So, you know, I wrote a Forbes article on her, and we did a live on Facebook explaining it. And to this day, I'm still getting people reaching out to me because they know I worked with her. And they're like, hey, like, you know, I'm still getting clients. I'm still getting leads from that, even though I actually did it. It was just to help her have a platform to share her message on. And I have, you know, podcasts like, you know, you were saying about years ago, I was on Manifestation Babe a year ago. I worked with Catherine as well. And continue to this day, I still get people coming in. And so it is very much a, when you come at it from this place of how can I serve, how can I help elevate this person and get their voice out there in a bigger way? And you actually do that, it comes back to you. It does come back to you. So really being clear on what is the intention. And I think, you know, one of the key takeaways as well that you've touched on is just, it's not about you. It's about the bigger message. It's about the impact that you can make together with this person. And the thing is that if you're not doing what I talked about in Unlock, you're going to have a really hard time connecting with this person. If you're like, my story is not worth telling, or like, oh, I'm afraid they're going to judge me. They're not going to think I'm enough. If you're just basically stuck on that step one, it's going to be really hard for you to create these connections that you and I are talking about. And another thing that I want to note is that what I'm talking about today, this framework, it's not a linear process that you just do like that one time 3 years ago and then it's done. So your story is a living, breathing document. You know, I call it a document, even though it's not actually physically anywhere. Your story is living and breathing. And so I've had clients in the just starting their business in the 6-figure level, 7, 8, 9 figure level, who are, we still need to go back and go back to unlock and body. Like we still need to go through this process because what ends up happening is the person you were 5 years ago or three, if you're like, oh, I worked on my brand story like 3 years ago, I'm good. Well, you've grown, I hope, in the past 3 years, you have facing new challenges, new levels of your business. The moment you hit a new level of your business or your personal life or your relationships, you're always going to want to go back and revisit these 4 steps that I'm mentioning because your story that you're pitching to the media 3 years ago, I know that to be true for sure for me, that what I was pitching 3 years ago is not what I'm talking about today. It feeds what I'm talking about today, but what I share in my podcast today has significantly evolved from a few years ago. And that is because I'm consistently, you know, with my clients and with myself, it doesn't matter what level of a business you're at, you have to consistently, it's more like a circle, it's a cycle. And the good news is that the first time you do this work and you're looking at these steps, you might be like, oh my God, how the hell do I do this? Like, and you know, that's why I have like group programs and courses teaching this, like, how do you actually literally do this? But the good news is that once you go through that process one time, two times, that it's just like house maintenance, like upkeeping of just like, let's update the software. Let's just go back, revisit. What are some things that I still believe about my imposter syndrome? What are some ways that I'm still allowing myself to be held back? The more you step into that full authentic expression of your story, the good news is you'll be able to hit certain levels where you're like, oh my God, I'm sharing my story with my 100,000 plus followers and I'm getting a lot of haters. Now I can handle it. And I have space to like, I actually am able to handle it instead of like crying about it for a week. So now the next challenge is, how do I take this story and present it to investors for funding? And then it's like, oh no, I have all these limiting beliefs that I'm not worthy or like they're gonna, like I'm not enough. And you were having like that belief at a much lower level a couple of years ago. Does that make sense? So the beliefs are still, they could still be lingering, but the challenges and the problems you're having are getting better and better and better. You're still growing in yourself and in your business. And you're actually able to get a grip on how to solve those because there's some things that, yeah, there's some, you know, things that we have around ourselves, beliefs, limiting beliefs that take years to heal sometime. But that doesn't mean we have to just like be at standstill, like waiting for that thing to heal because part of the healing and part of the overcoming of everything I mentioned in Unlock and embodying is literally like the embodiment piece is literally like taking the action over and over again to overcome this so that you can hit that next level in your business.
Mm, I think this is so good. So I love this conversation. I want to start to wrap up here by asking a couple of big questions. So I think the big takeaway for me at least is like, build relationships, do the inner work, and do all of that before you start trying to get featured. Because that's really where the intent, the vision, the values are really going to serve people either say yes or no to the opportunity to work with you. What would you say is something that people who are listening to this show could do this week to start getting traction with their message?
So I would say I've been seeding in little action steps all throughout this episode. Yeah. So I'll give like the first step, but I would say before that first step, listen to this episode. If you were in your car or, you know, washing dishes, but listen to it really carefully with a notebook next to you, because throughout the whole episode, like in those four phases, I was dropping in questions for you to ask and action steps for you to take in each of those phases. Now, I don't want to overwhelm you by saying, okay, like do all those four phases. But if you sit down and you say, you literally say like unlock, embody, design, and amplification, see like what is it that you learned in each one so that you're aware of where your own work needs to be. Now, the first thing, the action stuff for you to do this week after listening to this podcast episode and taking these notes and making sure you're grabbing these questions so that you can journal on them is go to step one, which is unlock, and ask yourself, why am I not sharing my story? And now I don't want you to just be like, oh, what? I don't know. Like I'm scared, whatever. I want you to actually literally on your calendar, sit down, set an hour aside, 30 to 60 minutes aside, and brain dump this. Like, why is it that you're not putting your story out there? Because you know where you want to end up, which is I want to, you know, make this level of income. Whatever your business goals are or your personal goals, make sure you're aware of them. And why am I not, you know, sharing my story? Why am I not putting myself out there? Do a brain dump on a piece of paper of all the reasons why. And look at that brain dump and actually ask yourself, what are the limiting beliefs that live inside of this? Like, pull them out, which would be, well, my story is not worthy, or I believe my story is not worthy. I'm afraid of what this person will think. And actually list out those limiting beliefs so that you are aware of them, and start watching this week how these beliefs are keeping you from pressing post, are keeping you from sharing yourself, are keeping you from creating that pitch. And just the first thing is of breaking through that is just having that extreme awareness. And once you're aware of that and you're actually being aware of the ways that this is happening, then you move into step two, which is embody. And that's where you want to ask yourself, why do I want to share this in the first place? This is obviously a high level step that I'm sharing, Zach, because of course this is like, no, this is literally like months of work that I do with private clients. But yeah, the first actionable step is just asking yourself that question and knowing with your eyeballs, look at a piece of paper and know, recognize what those limiting beliefs are. Because you recognizing what's keeping you back is what's going to help you create the actions and make the decisions to not let those beliefs that are not going to have those beliefs getting in your way.
I love that. Now, as we wrap up, we have one final question that we like to ask all our guests, which is, what does hustle mean to you?
That's a really powerful question. So I'll start by saying what it doesn't mean to me, which is what has been interpreted in the external world. I got to work like 12 hour days. I got to work, hustle all the time, everywhere, all the time. The way that hustle is being interpreted in the external world, I find to be quite toxic to people. However, the way that I see, and there's a term that my friend has coined that I find so powerful, which is the spiritual hustle. For me, hustle is internal, which is that never ending hunger for me to grow myself, for me to, you know, I don't rest when it comes to being able to be truthful to myself and looking at my limiting beliefs, my limitations, the way that I project my shit on other people, the way which we all do at a certain extent. So the ways that for me, the hustle is being like radically responsible with the person that I am and everything that's going on inside of me and making sure I'm consistently like the unlock phase, consistently cleaning out the shit that doesn't serve me and consistently seeking out the things that will evolve me. To me, hustle is spiritual and is internal. It's not the external part piece that a lot of people talk about online.
So good. So good. Well, before we say goodbye and thank you so much for being here, where can people find out more about you? Where can they connect with you? If they love your message, how can they work with you? Tell us all the things and then we will call it a show.
Amazing. So I've made it very easy for you all to find me. The one thing you need to remember is to spell my name right, which I will spell out because that's where most people go wrong. So my website is CelineDaCosta.com, CelineDaCosta.com. So my name has one L and two N's. And on social media, I live mostly on Instagram. So if you know you're curious about what I talked about today and how it actually looks like online, make sure that you follow me on Instagram at Celine DaCosta. I also have Facebook, Facebook group, everything at you can find through at Celine DaCosta. How you can work with me. You know, of course you can work with me privately. If this is the four-step process that I talked about to creating your irresistible story, is something that I take people on all levels across. Now, I understand that that might not be accessible to everyone. So I am relaunching my group program called Master Your Story in the next couple of months. The best thing you can do right now to get into my world, to start learning this stuff, to start preparing and educating yourself is I have a free guide that I'd love to offer so you can get started, which is called 3 Secrets to a Magnetic Brand Story. So you can bring in your ideal audience and also increase your income. You can get that in the show notes as well as in the bio and Instagram. So definitely grab that free guide, get on my email list, and I will keep you updated on everything and everything around this so you can start doing this work now.
That's so great. Well, Celine, thank you so, so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun. It definitely did not feel like work.
Awesome. Well, you guys, that is the show. If you got lots of value, make sure to do us a favor. Take a quick screenshot of this episode and tag us on Instagram stories. We would love, love, love to hear what you thought of the show. And if you'd like a recap, we will have a full transcript of the show available at heartsoulhustle.com/149. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/149. We'll have the entire show there to play. We'll have a quick recap of everything that we covered with timestamps. And as always, we'll have an entire transcript of the show waiting for you. So I hope you got lots of value here today. And until next time, keep hustling.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.